11:15, we will be having a facilitator training for covenant groups. If you've thought about being in a covenant group or facilitating a covenant group, please join us today at 11:15. If you will be at Camp Fest, you can join us for the same program on Tuesday at Camp Fest. So please join us for that. Second thing is a Camp Fest on Friday evening at 7 o'clock, I believe. There will be a worship service, whether you... 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock, thank you. If you are not attending Camp Fest, but you still would like to get a flavor of it, you're welcome to join us up there at 5 o'clock on Friday evening. Should be a lot of fun. And you should be aware I will be gone for the entire last 10 days of June, and then I will be here for a week, and then on vacation for the following month. So, well, vacation and study leave. I don't get 4 weeks of vacation straight, but I will be away. So if you need anything from me before August, you should probably talk to me here pretty soon. And I believe that concludes this morning's announcements. Our service now will begin with a prelude.
To worship today is by Lao Tse, the space within. 30 spokes share the wheel's hub. It is the center hole that makes it useful. Shape clay into a vessel. It is the space within that makes it useful. Cut doors and windows for a room. It is the holes that make it useful. It is therefore profit comes from what is there. Usefulness comes from what is not there.
We're going to continue our chalice lighting words, but we're going to be adding some hand motions to them. So as Michael lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to join me in doing the hand motions as well as the words. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant. To dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. This is the sign language symbol for help. I invite you now to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and sing with gusto hymn number 1017, We Are Building a New Way. seated. As many of you know, on May 17th, we voted in the new Congregational Covenant. I invite you to join in reciting this covenant. To strengthen and nurture our welcoming community with love, compassion, and respect, we covenant together to honor and make space for our diversity, respect our volunteers, leaders, and staff. We went far too much. There we go. Oh no! Okay. How about you repeat after me? By supporting balance in their lives. And in their personal and professional pursuits. Encourage each member to develop a personal spiritual practice that cultivates honesty and acceptance. Remembering our humanness, we acknowledge our imperfection, and extend forgiveness to ourselves and others. Engage with our own and the larger community. With integrity. By taking responsibility. For our actions. Facilitating right relationship. And living into the journey. May it be so. That was me. Sorry. though, yes, please, may it be so. So say we all. Wait. Yes. And I'm starting to realize that the microphone isn't on, so I apologize if you couldn't hear me before. So this water pot was a little bit cracked, and as he would walk, it would lose water. So that by the time he got back to his house, only the water pot with the crack in it only had half the water of the pot that had nothing, was brand new. And this water pot thought what many of us think when we're a little cracked and worn and have some years on us, which is shame for not being full and whole and for losing so much water. Because this old man put in so much effort, and by the time he got to the house, half the water was gone. And so one day, after a couple of years of this, he told the old man, you know, I feel ashamed, embarrassed that I can't do my job. And the water bearer looked down at the pot and said, really? I'm sorry to hear that. When we go out and get water next time, I want you to look around you and see what's going on. And we'll talk about the end of that story in a little while. How many of you have felt like a worn, cracked pot? And as I was saying to Yomi earlier, cracked pot, not crack pot. Those are, again, two different things. Sometimes both. I get that. I do. We all have times where we feel less than whole. And that's because we bump into the world. To live a full life, we have to bump into the world, right? I mean, we can opt to stay closed in our houses and not do anything and risk not being bumped at all, but then we don't live a useful life. And our little cracked pot had lived a full, long life and just had a little bit of a crack in it. And wasn't feeling all that useful. You all see that bowl right there? Do you see the cracks in it? What's filling those cracks? Gold. It's filled with a special kind of gold. In Japan, they call this a form of art called kintsugi. And what happens is, if you have a piece of ceramics that breaks, you send it to a specialist and they repair it with a gold. And it's stronger than it was before it broke. There's an author who says many of us are broken by the universe, but some of us are stronger in the broken places. We let the life that we live fill us so much so that we are stronger than we were before. To love another person is to feel that pain of brokenness. How many of you have had your heart broken? It's a normal part of life. How many of you have found that brokenness, that heart brokenness, has expanded your world and your life? That's a harder thing to see sometimes. The truth is, none of us are perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Apparently, Pat Morris. None of us are perfect. But if we have lived full and bountiful lives, we have learned from our imperfections. We have learned from the cracks in our minds and our souls, our bodies and our spirits. Too often I meet with members of congregations, this one and others, where people feel like they can't be a member of this church anymore, because they can't give what they used to, either in money or in time or in skill. Which is heartbreaking, because oftentimes these same folks are people who gave 20, 30 years of their lives to the congregation that they're a part of. But because they're a little cracked, because things are a little bit different, they leave our churches because they don't feel they're worthy anymore. Is that not heartbreaking? Too often I see people on the street, broken down, begging for money, feeling totally hopeless and worthless. I gave somebody a plastic container of money the other day. She was more excited about the plastic container than the money. It was a good reminder to me that, right, it may not be the money that's the most helpful thing. And my mother had been homeless for a time, and when I look at folks, I'm reminded that there's a worthy life there. And yet our society has failed in reminding them of their usefulness, that they might have a crack. The more likely they fell through a crack in our society. And yet, is our society worthless? No. We always have work to do. And the world can break our hearts time and time again. People can disappoint us. We cannot necessarily live up to our own expectations. All these things can really hurt. Maybe you didn't get that A in school, or that teacher made fun of you, or your boss said something horrible. And it can be easy to internalize it and make the crack about me. And forget that there's a wholeness there, and there's still water present. And when we fill it with gold, we're stronger than we ever were.
Slide back?
We do. Okay, good. I invite you to stay seated and join in singing hymn number 1053, How Can Anyone Ever Tell You?
Receive these gifts gratefully, and we dedicate them to the work of our congregation, welcoming the stranger and upholding religious freedom, honoring human wholeness, and caring for our planet. Together we seek to serve with ever greater love. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in the offertory blessing to the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community. We dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. Each week we take some time to consider the joys and sorrows within our community and our world. We take some time for silence and for meditation, for thoughtful contemplation, a time in which we engage our hearts, our minds, and our spirits and our bodies in reflecting on all that is going on in our lives, to beware of those broken places, of those cracks in our lives and in the lives of those we love, as well as the wholeness and majesty of the containers which they are made of. Each week we invite people to come forward and take stones and place them in the cleansing waters next to me. If you are of a spiritual mind, you may place them in the water, having them cleansed by the love of this community. If you are a more philosophical mind, allow this to be a time where those things that are joys and celebrations or sorrows and loss in your life are brought to mind, using the stone as a way to bring to your consciousness those things most important to you. I invite you now to come forward and place the stones in the bowl. And from this we live. I place a stone in the bowl for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, and a stone for those who cannot be with us today. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. And I invite you to be present here in this space and to take a deep breath in and out. Now in and out so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. Doing that requires you to breathe in deeper, so I invite you to do that again so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And now slowly in and out. Into this silence, into this space, we open ourselves to the wonderment of life. To the great gift of rain and trees and blessing of the rivers, the many rivers that sustain us. And as we are present to these rivers, we open our hearts and our minds to those who are living in times of drought, in times of crisis and uncertainty for the future. May we be ever present to those who are in need of our support and our care and of major change for the world. May we lift up the celebration of our families and friends, of laughter, of games, toys, of hope, of all the good things of life, and may we remember, even alongside these things, those who are experiencing loss, death of loved ones, fathers and aunts and grandmothers and mothers, and of those who are experiencing illness and pain. May they find here a place to rest for a while, to know that we hold them in all that they are, and that we love them merely for their presence. In a world broken by war, famine, illness, and fear, may we find peace, love, and hope. May we be present with all of these, the painful and the joyful. They are the stuff of life. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. As we come back into this space, I invite you to say aloud those names of people, places, or events for which you wish this community to be mindful, prayerful, in an embracing meditation. For all those named and unnamed and those lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we offer our blessings, our presence, and our grace. Blessed be.
Our reading today is from A Treatise on Atonement by Universalist Hosea Ballou. There is nothing in heaven above, nor in the earth beneath, that can do away sin but love. And we have reason to be eternally thankful that love is stronger than death, that many waters cannot quench it, nor the floods drown it, that it hath power to remove the moral maladies of mankind and to make us free from the law of sin and death, to reconcile us to God, and to wash us pure in the blood or life of the everlasting covenant. O love, thou great physician of souls, what a work hast thou undertaken! All souls are thy patients, prosperous be thy labors, thou bruiser of the head of carnal mind.
So you remember that cracked pot? Where are our pots now, by the way? Oh, they got cast aside already, poor pots. Anybody not get a chance to see the pots? So last we heard from our cracked pot, it was leaking all over the place and feeling pretty bad about it, right? And what did the water bearer tell that pot to do? To watch and see and look around the next time they went back to the river. And so the pot did. You know, the pot noticed, you know, the path and some flowers and everything, but nothing that really seemed to matter. And so the water bearer went back to the river and filled both of the pots with the water and started walking back. And the water bearer said to the cracked pot, "Well, what do you see?" "Well, I don't know, flowers and, you know, the path and the sun and bugs, I guess. I don't feel any better, though. Still feel like I'm not doing you a service and you should get a new pot." What do you think the water bearer told the pot at that point? Some of you know this story. What did he say? He watered the what? He watered the flowers, that's right. The water bearer said, "You know, I noticed a couple of years ago that you were leaking water, and so I put flower seeds all along the path, and so that each day when I walked up the path and you were leaking water, you were watering all these beautiful flowers here who would not exist if you did not have a crack in your base." Suddenly, that cracked water pot felt so much better. Started looking at flowers, literally started smelling the flowers. You have that experience? You forgot to smell the flowers? Literally started to smell the flowers. Well, maybe not literally, it's a pot. It doesn't literally have emotions either, but just imagine, okay, we're using our imaginations. Smelled the flowers and realized that crack brought life to the world. How many of you have felt like you've had some horrible, terrible thing about yourself that you then later realize is your greatest gift? Well, some folks willing to admit it, not so many. The thing is that it's in the deepest, most difficult places of our lives that we learn the most about our world, because the truth is there is not a person sitting here who hasn't known pain, who hasn't known fear, who hasn't known shame. Any Brené Brown fans in the house? Brené Brown is one of my favorite authors, and one of the things that she talks about, she studies shame, she talks about the importance of shame resilience. And the thing that I know about emotions is it's not good to pretend they don't happen. There was a while there where they were saying on the media that fear didn't exist, it was in our imaginations. And I'm like, what? Fear is real, okay? But here's the thing. Do you let fear rule your life, or do you rule the fear? Do you let shame rule your life, or do you rule the shame? Do you allow the emotions that you feel in your broken places inform how you're going to live that good life? Or do you stay in that despairing place? Which one would you rather do? I know which one I'd rather do. So Hosea Ballou, that amazing universalist, he is one of the fathers of universalism. And essentially what he was saying was an idea in his time that was considered heresy. That sin mattered not in the face of God's love. Whether you believe in God or not, in the face of love, our broken places become sources of power. They become the places by which, as an alcoholic, you meet another alcoholic, you can walk with them and know their pain and help them along. You're a survivor of cancer and meeting a person who lives with cancer, you can walk with them and in love help them move along and find strength. You can, in that place of depression, meet another person who's depressed and walk along with them and let them know they are not alone. In those broken places, we find wholeness. Because we cannot be whole pots unless we're a little bit cracked. We cannot be whole people unless we're a little bit cracked. I met a child in the hospital a few years ago when I was working as a chaplain. And she had lost her leg because of an illness she had. And this had been a girl who had been running track and had been very successful and now had no sense of purpose in her life. She thought there was nothing left for her, which in a preteen is a heartbreaking thing to see. And she had to go through the experience of grief and feeling shame for herself and feeling broken. But at some point, she said to me at once, she said, "I've got nothing to lose, so I'm going to do it all." And she did. She had nothing to lose, so she did it all. And too often I find people that they have to be broken before they do the crazy, amazing things on their bucket list, right? Until we feel those moments of brokenness, we forget how alive and how much our lives are worth. So my blessing for you is that you see you've been watering those flowers long before you feel that despair. And when you feel that brokenness, you know that you are enough, that you are whole, and that as you love yourself, so shall the world love you. May it be so.
And so, I invite you to please rise as your spirit and some bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 368. Now let us sing.
The chandelier towards your community. Look at all the broken people. See them smile. Aren't they amazing? These are your blessed friends, your neighbors, your community, the many broken pots watering the world with their spirit, with their mind, their hearts, and their presence. May we all know we are not alone. That this community is here for us, and may we share with the love, share the love with the world, a world that believes too often in sin and not enough in hope. May we know that we are enough to share that love with the world. And so we say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Shout it.
Yes.
Amen. May it be.
I just can't stop shaking today.